But if you don't heed to my word, just at my voice, I can speak destruction just as quick as I can speak blessings. But here in the language, you see that the hinge is in the hearer's court. The ball is in your court, as some would say. The decision is yours. Verse 11 says, "Now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and a devastating plan against you. Return now everyone from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good." Here's their response. This is how they responded to the word that I just read to you. And they said, "That is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans." Everybody say our own plans. "And we will, everyone, obey the dictations of his evil heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask now among the Gentiles, who has heard such things? The virgin of Israel has done a very horrible thing." Would you put your Bibles down and give God some worship right now? And so we read here in the Word of God that we serve a God, Brother Reggie, that has all power in his hand. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He is the end. He's the author and finisher of my faith. He's the bright and morning star. He's the rose of Sharon. He is the healer that moves upon me when I'm sick. He is the deliverer that moves upon my situation when I am in a situation where I don't have the answers. He's a bridge over troubled waters. He is everything that his word says that he is. The Bible declares here where I'm reading that he is interested in your response. I'm talking to you tonight from the title or the thought, the warning signs. And that's exactly what Israel is receiving from God in this passage. They are in a place where they have allowed other things to get between them and God. The Bible tells us that we serve a jealous God. And so this is his response. We'll come back to that. I'd like to know if I'm in a church tonight that believes that God is still a healer. I'd like to know if I'm in a church tonight that still believes that holiness is right. Not only is holiness right, but holiness is beautiful. I wonder if I'm in a church tonight that believes still, according to the word of God, that there's still only one way to baptize. There's no other name given among heaven whereby we must be saved, but we must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of our sin. I wonder if I'm in a place tonight that still believes that the Holy Ghost is real and that you can still receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Does anybody believe that tonight? You guys aren't tired of hearing this, are you? I wonder if I'm in a church tonight that believes in the middle of a quasi-casual Christian world that there's only one Lord and one faith and one baptism. The Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." All right. So I'm in the right place. I'm where I'm supposed to be. I love as much as the next man. I believe truth to rally to these things. These are things that we call core. These are things that we call essential. And these things are good, Dawson, and these things are right, and these things are true, and these things are concrete, and they are established in the Word of God. This is the structure for the church. Amen? But I'd like to propose to you tonight that Israel had all of these same things. That Israel, they were used to seeing the miracles of God. Israel was very familiar with the law. They were very familiar with the Word of God and what God had to say about different things and wearing the blue fringe, and they had done so many things to establish themselves as the people of God, just as we have done. We've looked at the Word of God and we've understood that God requires this of me, and we have responded to His Word and we have done those things. But I read the story of Saul. David, and I read where he was anointed of God and he was lifted up to be the king. But I also read where the Bible says that God departed from him. Church, this is a heartbreaking concept, and I know you've heard it before, but the Word of God tells me that you can be the anointed of God without having the presence of God. Well, you can come in on a Sunday night and shout with the best of them, but have neglected relationships. You can come in and testify and it be anointed. And when you speak, the Holy Ghost moves through the place. You can have that quality, but not have relationship. You can even step into an apostolic pulpit and bring the Word of God and everybody get goosebumps, but have neglected relationship. Young people, you can beat down the doors of your school and tell everybody about this one name, the name of Jesus, and how you got to get the Holy Ghost, and all of those things are well. Please don't make me qualify tonight. I'm not diminishing the things that we call precious, because I'm telling you, I believe this. But what I am here to tell somebody tonight, I'm here to throw up a warning sign to somebody to say that in all of these things, you can be in a place where you have walked away from relationship. And you can know the form of godliness, but not have it on the inside. We're talking about Israel here. We're talking about his chosen people. We're talking about the people that came and the waters parted. We're talking about the people that saw the plagues come down in the house of Pharaoh on their behalf. We're talking about the people that walked out of the city of Egypt and not one feeble be among them. We're talking about Israel that wandered in the wilderness and had manna come from heaven. From heaven. I'm a big boy and I like to eat, but goodness, if it was coming from heaven, friend, we're talking then. Amen. That's right. So we're talking about the people of Israel that have seen all of these things, but yet they get to a place here where God is having to tell them, at my word, I can bless you, and at my word, I can curse you. I can speak down devastation, but the beautiful or the curse of the matter is that it's all in your response. Dawson, that's the scary thing. To know that I know the God of heaven, but it's all hinging upon my response. God has already robed himself in flesh, come down to earth and died the death of a sinner so that I could have eternal life, so that I could have salvation, and so that I could feel his presence. My God. He's already done that. But in order for this thing to be durative, I can't neglect relationship. Reggie, I refuse to be an apostolic preacher, have people get the Holy Ghost and see people healed and go to hell because I've neglected relationship. That it can't happen. Well, talking about that sweet Sunday school teacher that's there faithful every Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning, they've got the snacks ready, and they've got the lesson ready, and they've got everything all together, and everything's just perfect. But during the week, they haven't talked to God. It can't happen. This thing is dependent upon your response, and God is holding us to a standard. God is holding us to his word. Church, we've got to have more than a form of holiness. We've got to know God in this day and age. Would you stand on your feet right now and give God some worship? When the kingdom was taken from Saul, Dawson, it wasn't the first encounter that he had had being in trouble with Samson or Samuel. But he had already offered up an invalid offering. He had already been warned. The word had already come to him and said, look, I know you're anointed and I know you're the king. You got to keep it to the letter. You've got to stay in the word. You cannot choose form over relationship. But this thing has got to be intimate. This thing has got to be real. It's got to happen on the inside of you. We can't afford to only have a form of godliness. I was in my car a few weeks ago, and I was headed to work, and I got it in the car. I got probably 3 or 4 minutes down the road. And I try to wear my seatbelt most of the time. Okay? I really do try. So I'm in the car, and I get about 3 or 4 minutes down the road, and ding, 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 I hear it. And it's like, you know, a lot of times it's just like, okay, I'm going to put my seatbelt on, and I'm talking to my car, because it's like, come on. But that happens all the time, and I'm sure it's happened to you. But Dawson, this particular morning, I reached for my seatbelt to bring it across me. And God just spoke to me and said, warning signs. And he just kind of dropped this on me. And I was supposed to preach maybe a week from that. So I don't know. I had a couple of things canceled. But I really believe there's a word in the house tonight. And again, let me remind you, these altars are open right now. You don't have to wait for the traditional end. But just like Israel had a prophet that would come to them and say, look, you've got to get your act together. You've got to get it in line. Because if you don't, destruction is going to come from that same spout that blessings have been pouring from. You see, God wants to bless you. God wants to be everything he said he would be in your life. But it's all hinged upon your response. So I'm here tonight with a call to look inward. Church, I'm here tonight to say, examine your life, the small things. And I'm here to call to repentance, because there is a word that is real. It's like Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord take away. He asked, he said, shall we not receive blessings at his hand and not curse? Shall we not receive both of those things at the same hand? And we're here in 2011, and we have been charged with the same thing that Israel was charged with. They were charged with going after other gods. And there's language very strong in Jeremiah chapter 20 and 21, where it talks about a man who's married and his wife going off and being promiscuous and it happening over and over and over again. And God is standing there, and he's faithful to his word. He's faithful to everything that he has said that he's going to do, and he's faithful to everything that he has promised you. And so we are here tonight with the responsibility to be faithful to him and to only have one love. We shout about there being one God. He robed himself in flesh, came down and died the death of a sinner. But we've got to take it a step beyond that. There is only one God. But there's also only one God in my life. It's an easy place and a slippery slope to deal with. Because Adrian, we're human and we're fallible, and we're so prone to mess up. And there are so many things out there that glitter but are not gold. There's so many other things, other imitations out there. But the only thing that's real is a relationship with God, is a relationship with his word, a relationship with his spirit. But there are so many other options out there. Is it okay if I take my time? And so we're here in this 2011 in this day and age, this generation, and there are so many things out there. You know, if your cup of tea is a pigskin, then there's college football, all that you can handle. They've got the tickers you can get on your phone and the updates that can come by the hour or by the half hour. And there's so many other things, and you get so enamored with these young men playing football and these young men playing basketball and all of these sports. And I'm not here to say that sports is evil, but I am here to say you had better beware that no God comes before the one true living God. You had better beware that God comes before the Crimson Tide. You had better beware that God comes before the Auburn Tigers. You had better beware that there's only one thing that I desire, and that, and that, and that, and that will I seek after. I know exactly where I'm at. Church, we've got to get to a place where we are aware of what's going on around us. There are things that are constantly vying for your attention and your affection. There are things that are constantly looking to take the place of the one that should be number one in your life. It may not be football for you. It may be online shopping. I don't know what the vice is, but I am here to tell you tonight that God is calling this place to repentance. Can I say it plain? If you continue to lay there in that complacent state, you will die. I know you shout with the best of us. I know when you testify, it's red hot. I know you're the most faithful Sunday school teacher at this church. I know that you're faithful to your duty, to helping up here and helping back there and in the mechanical, all of those things. I know you've got all those things down and you don't need any improvement there. You're faithful to those things, faithful to Friday nights, faithful to Bible studies, faithful to all of those things. But if you are neglecting a relationship, your soul, my friend, is in danger. There is sudden destruction in the path that you are moving again. God is here tonight calling us to a place of repentance. My God. We don't watch Hollywood. That's an influence that'll kill you on the spot. If you allow it to get in your spirit. No Hollywood, Dawson. But it is not the will of God for apostolics to be in front of a video for hours on end a day. Whether it's Hollywood or not. I don't care if it's a documentary. I don't care what it is. It's not the will of God for you to spend hours on end in front of a box for pure entertainment. You cannot let entertainment become the God that comes before the God of Israel. You've got to check yourself. I know it's not sin, but sin, my God, sin will overtake you if you allow yourself to be in a complacent place. Is this okay? We've got to guard ourselves. We've got to protect the core. Men, it's the will of God for you to provide for your family. That's absolutely the will of God for you to put food on the table and be the steward of your house. But it is not the will of God before you to allow that job to become primary. That can't become your God. Well, we've got to pay the bills. I understand. We need another car. I understand. But I'm here to tell you. Because you know. Don't try the mind games. Because I'm a man too. And you know where the line is. And if you allow that job to become primary, you're not only in danger of losing your soul, but you're in danger of seeing devastation come to that family. Well, you don't have to say anything. Because if we don't allow his word and relationship to be primary, even in that area, your soul's in danger. It's small things. Stephen, it's little things. Things that we don't necessarily call sin. That creep in, Dawson. It's like an ugly vine that starts so small. And the longer you allow it to fester, it begins to grow. And before you know it, you're consumed and you can't move and you can't get out of it. But I'm here to tell you, God has sent this preacher tonight that can barely carry all of this load tonight to warn you, to tell you, beware. Turn from complacency and make a relationship with God the most important thing in your life. Let it consume you. Let the zeal of his house eat you alive. Jesus. A complacent attitude was the downfall of Samson. Could you help me, please? If you could stand tonight, we're wrapping up here. But a complacent attitude was the thing that destroyed Samson. He was so casual about the promise of God. He was so casual about his position and what God had done in his life. And in the end, it meant destruction. And we know the story of Samson and we look at it. And we wonder, how in the world could he have been so foolish? Didn't he know what she was doing? Didn't he understand what she was trying to do, the snare that she was trying to set before him? Didn't she know that lady, that pretty, beautiful young lady, didn't have his best interest in mind? Didn't he know? Maybe he was blinded by how attractive she was. I don't know. Maybe he was blinded by the need for a companion. I don't really know what the thing was that blinded him, but I'm sure that Delilah was beautiful. You see, that's the problem with sin. Is that it's not always obvious. It's not always ugly. But sometimes it's gorgeous. You talked about the other night, Dawson. Sometimes it's stuff you like. Church, God's calling this place, this church, this people, to a place of repentance. I don't know who this is for. This could be somebody's last service. I don't know. I don't know the ramifications. I don't understand the urgency of it, but there is urgency. I don't know the nature of it. Like I told you before, I don't have a package sermon for you. I got a few things jotted down. I'm just here to tell you that God is calling us to a place of repentance. Can we all come down? I heard a preacher tell a story. I think it's appropriate for tonight. I may not have the details all down if you've heard it before, but it was a foggy night. And a tanker had turned over. And the flames from that accident were blazing. Flames from that thing, that thing was consumed. That truck was consumed. But because the fog was so thick, oncoming traffic, it was hard to see. It was difficult to see the devastation that was up ahead. And one man, by the grace of God, he saw what was going on, and he realized that those people couldn't see. And he stood there on the side of the road watching this thing burst into flames. And he watched one car after another driving off into eternity because they can't see what's up ahead. They can't see that right beyond the thick of the fog that there's devastation and death. So this man begins to wave his arms. Desperately trying to get somebody's attention. Stop, you've got to stop. You can't go down this road because there's devastation, that there's an awful accident. People passing by giving them horrible hand gestures. And what are you doing, idiot? Get out of the road. What are you doing? Get out of the way. Pumping their horns at them. And one after another, they go and they meet eternity. He continues to get more and more desperate. He finds some cones on the side of the road, and he begins to hurl those things into the windshields of those oncoming cars to get their attention, to tell them, you've got to stop. Because just ahead, there's devastation. I'm 24 years old. Don't know a whole lot about a lot of things. But my God, if we could respond in this place to the wooing of God, somebody's life will be saved. I may not be talking to you. This may not be for you. But if you'll just pray, maybe it's your neighbor, maybe it's your brother or your sister or your mom, but we've got to pray. We've got to find a place of repentance. We've got to get back in line with His, my God, with His relationship and His word. Come on, church, we've got to pray. There's so many things that so easily beset us, but we've got to stay focused. That's it, church. That's it. Come on, find somebody to pray with right now. We've got to get into a place of repentance. We've got to get a hold of God tonight.
It's all about you. It's all about you.
Come on, it doesn't have to end in devastation. Destruction doesn't have to be the end of your story. There's still hope in the house tonight. There's still restoration in the house tonight. But my God, we've got to respond.
The the things I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.